Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are live and local here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. It is burger night, back like it never left, back and better than before. You can get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. We love our support from everyone here at Capitol Ale House. And one of the waitresses, her boyfriend Reed, is a diehard Commanders fan. We wanted to give him a shout-out. Listens to the show all the time. We love that. Love the Commanders. And he has a birthday coming up on November 27th, a Thanksgiving birthday. So we wanted to mention that. But today, the Commanders, the circus continues, the traveling road show. We will hear from Dan Quinn at 3:30 today. And the question of the day on the Richmond Commander is, will we hear that Jaden Daniels is going to practice this week? I would like Jaden Daniels to practice this week, even if he doesn't play this weekend. I do think that there's more and more likely that this becomes a Cincinnati situation where Joe Burrow practiced this week, but then was held out. I think that Jaden Daniels might practice this week and then might get held out for at least another week so that they can make sure that he is fully healthy. But here on a Monday, November 24th, there's a Monday night football game to preview and recap all of the NFL action from the weekend with our winners and losers of the week here on NFL Hits.
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
I mean, it pains me so much to say this, but you have to give the Dallas Cowboys a Winner of the Week award. From down 21-0 to 21-21 and then winning the game in regulation, they kept their season alive, Jeremy. And to be honest, I thought that game was over. And I thought we were going to get exactly what all Commanders fans want, which is the one week you don't play, have Dallas get their butt whooped. And yet, somehow that game flipped. What did you see that flipped that game from 21-0 to 24-21 Cowboys win?
It seems like the Eagles can only play one half of football. I don't know what that is. Even when they were winning games convincingly, they were doing it only in one half. Whether that be the first half or the second half, I haven't seen them put together a full game of football yet this season, and that just seems to be a quirk of this team.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And you know, remember, you think back to the last time they faced off against each other. The Cowboys had the perfect first half and got blanked in the second half. Well, it was the opposite this time. You got to give a Winner of the Award a week to Shedeur Sanders and the Browns getting a win there. Look, this is a Cleveland team that doesn't win very often, and I would not be surprised if they eventually, you know, botch this Shedeur Sanders situation here. But it was good to see the young man have success. It was cool to see his dad and all the characters from the All the Smoke podcast, in the building watching Shedeur play. As much as he gets hate, I will absolutely be rooting for him. 11 of 20, not a very good debut in terms of completion percentage, but he avoided the rush because Max Crosby was getting after him, one sack in the game, was able to, you know, make some plays. But really, I thought the story of the game was Judkins for a while till he went down. But look, Shedeur Sanders got a win, and it's kind of weird that they won't commit about naming him the starter for the next week. He's the only positive thing your team has going right now. Jeremy, give us a loser of the week, why don't you?
I think one of the big losers this week is going to have to be the Tennessee Titans. They still can't quite get that victory. It looked like they were finally going to have something going for them against the Seahawks in that second half, but that first half was so bad, and they still can't get a real win on their season.
Yeah, no, they can't. That's a team that really can't put it together for a whole game also. I'm going to give a winner of the week award to Patrick Mahomes, who just made all of the clutch plays. I really thought that when he threw that lob that was kind of floated and wobbly, that Xavier Worthy was going to drop it, and that was going to be game over. It was fourth down. They needed it. But he held it. He hauled it in after he kind of bobbled it. He cut up field, got into scoring range. I thought they were going to end up winning in regulation. They tie it, and then the defense stepped up. I mean, maybe the winner of the week award shouldn't even be going to Patrick Mahomes, but that Kansas City defense that was absolutely awesome in the second half of that game. That's the reason that they came back and won, really.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes doing his MVP things, right? He stepped up in the moment. They were down 11 in the fourth quarter. That defense stepped up, held him just 18 yards, and that whole Chiefs team needed to win that game, playoff game for them. They found a way to get it done.
Loser of the Week award, the New York Giants. Did we announce this in the first segment? I think we missed it. There were a few firings. Vegas fired offensive coordinator Chip Kelly. The Raiders' offense looked awful against the Browns. That makes sense. The Giants made a move as well. They have moved on from one of their coordinators after another defeat, and things are just getting worse and worse for the New York Giants. After another late collapse, their defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, gets the boot. He was fired. And I think what's funny is it felt like the talk was going to be about how interim coach Mike Kafka did such a great job and led his team to an improbable win, but then they didn't win the game. And another, it just feels like I don't think any other team has had as many come from behind losses as the Giants this season. They have had a lead several times this year. They got two different trick plays to work. Jameis threw one, and then he somehow caught one and ran it in, and yet the defense couldn't get the stop when they needed him most, and Jahmyr Gibbs went nuts. Giants are a loser of the week, and their defense coordinator got canned. Give us a winner or a loser, Jeremy.
I think one big loser is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not only did they lose bad against a contender in the NFC and the Rams on Sunday Night Football, but it looks like Baker Mayfield is going to miss some time with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, no, that's a good point right there. He's going to have an MRI. That's what's next. He could not really move his shoulder. And to me, that is the scariest part about this, because it just feels like he's going to be out at least probably 2 weeks. You know, I'm no doctor, but just, you know, speculating on that injury here. And all right, you've got the Cardinals, the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers over the next 4 weeks here. But the problem is Carolina is now even with you in the division, and the wild card spots in the NFC are getting taken up. And now Dallas is back in it with a 5-5-1 record. So Tampa really can't afford to lose games without Baker Mayfield. And they definitely don't have one of the top backups, given the fact that Teddy Bridgewater had retired and was coaching high school football last year before they brought him back. Let's give out another winner of the week award here to the Jacksonville Jaguars. A big win there, coming from behind. And, you know, this actually kind of stamps Jacksonville as a playoff team, I think, because they are now just one game back of Indianapolis, but at 7-4, they're probably going to eat up one of those wild card spots if they don't end up winning the division. That's why it just meant so much for Kansas City, because right now it's Kansas City and Pittsburgh and Houston all competing with the Jacksonville Jaguars for that seventh spot. Buffalo is also in the mix there as well. If they don't end up winning their division, which does kind of seem lost right now, the Patriots getting to a 10-2 record. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Every day at 1 p.m., the Richmond Commander. The question today, do you think Dan Quinn will say that Jaden Daniels is back at practice or not when he speaks to the media today at 3:30. Monday night is the Panthers at the 49ers. That actually is a matchup that could affect playoff seeding. Panthers 6-5, 49ers 7-4. That game will be 8:15 on ESPN from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, the home of the Super Bowl. And Bud Light Big Game Week will return this year here on AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
AWOD Radio, here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. Every game can be heard here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. It's 1 p.m., which means we open up the phone lines here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So I don't want to take this time to talk about former Washington Commanders kicker having a huge day in Week 12, that being Zane Gonzalez, that went and connected from deep and deeper and deeper to help his team get a win over the weekend. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to talk about how the Rams found a steal in the Commanders' ex-first-round pick and Forbes. He's still a bust in my mind. He made a few plays for the Rams. In a blowout win in which every single time he made a play, Baker Mayfield was trying to squeeze it into a hole that was just too small. I'd like to see Forbes do that in back-to-back games. I doubt that happens. I still think he's a bust, and we were right to move on from him. And I don't want to talk about how a Commanders' trusted veteran and Daron Payne is kind of drifting towards a farewell in Washington. I want to talk about our quarterback, Jaden Daniels, and where we're at with him. He didn't need surgery. He didn't land on IR. The Commander said we are going to reevaluate Jaden after the bye. Last time I checked, today is after the bye. And Dan Quinn will speak to the media today at 3:30. And we're asking, what do you think Dan Quinn will say about Jaden Daniels today when he speaks to the media? I am hoping that he will say that there is a plan in place for Jaden to return to practice this week and return in full. And let's face it, whether he plays again this season or not, he needs to practice again. And to be honest, part of the reason for the failures this season is because of the amount of practice he missed and the amount of practice or training camp others missed. Practice matters in the NFL. And we can't overlook the fact that Jaden Daniels' best performance last year, I thought, was the 5 will give you 10, right? The 5 touchdown passes he had for the 10th win of the season when they came from behind to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And wouldn't Jaden Daniels tell everyone after that win that the game-winning throw to Jamison Crowder worked? Because they worked on it in practice. Practice matters. And because of the injuries, he has missed too much time of practice this year. And when they went on a 3-game losing streak last year, what was the reason? Jaden Daniels missed too much time in practice. The practice makes perfect. You have to get the rhythm and the timing down perfect to be successful in the NFL. And from what I've seen from Jaden Daniels and the Commanders this year on offense is, simply the timing has not been perfect. It's been off slightly. Either because Jaden isn't comfortable with his progressions, or Jaden isn't comfortable with his offensive line protecting him, or he's having to move too quick because the offensive line didn't protect him, or he's not on the same page with his receivers because it's not the same guys from last year, or they're not good enough at creating separation. What I'm seeing from an offense this year with Jaden Daniels at the helm is just timing is off. It's off on everything. And so that's why he needs to return to practice to get his timing back with his receivers, with his running backs, with his offensive line, with how Cliff Kingsbury wants this offense to be ran. And it was not a fluky offense last year at all. Like, I thought the RG3 Shanahan offense was kind of fluky with all the read option plays. But I will say this. Last year, we noticed the same thing as that we're noticing this year with Cliff Kingsbury. When the offense does not get the first down, they struggle because they can't get into their hurry up. They need to. How do they do that? They have to get that first down. And so the first drive of the game and the first offensive series has been so crucial, and it just, we haven't hit on it this season. And so I kind of think it's like snowballed into other things where we're just not playing complementary football because the offense has gotten the ball first and done nothing, and the defense has then given up a long drive down the field. And it's happened over and over and over again. And if that's not the case, then we have a special teams mistake, right? But what I want to see here to close out this season with 6 games left and 4 of them being divisional games is the offense to get off to a good start in a game and to take a lead and to give the defense a lead to play with. And then I think we can see the defense flying off the ball and getting all around the field and actually making sure tackles and getting stops on third down. I think playing with a lead is so crucial. And we saw that for the first time in a long time in the Dolphins game, right? Mariota led us. We took a lead. The defense got the stops that we needed them to. And we really should have won that game when the offense moved the ball into field goal range and gave Matt Gay an opportunity to win it. We should have won that game, but we didn't. And it's kind of been this whole season wrapped into one game where everything goes right and then one bad play, we lose momentum, we end up losing the game, right? I mean, even after Matt Gay missed it, we still should have won that game in overtime, but Marcus Mariota forced it, thrown behind a receiver, and it got picked off, and that was all she wrote right there. But what I want to see from Washington's offense this year is getting off to a good start to close out this season, because that is something that they can control. All week long, you game plan, you script 15 plays, you script the first series. What are we doing wrong in our scripted plays that it's not working? And I think Cliff Kingsbury needs to identify that. What I've seen is too many times we're running the ball for 1 yard or no gain. And so maybe, at least in the first drive of the game, we've got to be pass happy. We've got to come out. And I think that's what Jacksonville has been doing this year successfully, is throwing the ball more on first down to give yourself these 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, 2nd and short situations where then you can run the ball again or you can throw it. And I think you kind of have to be playing mind games with the defense here, because if what you're doing is running the ball on first down every single drive, and it's not working, it becomes predictable. And I think we've become a predictable offense this year, especially on third and short situations. Everybody knows it's coming. We're not getting a good enough push from our offensive line. And these so many times simple run plays last year that got 3 or 4 yards are getting pushed backwards and becoming -1 and -2 yards this year. And so I think Cliff needs to respond to that and say, hey, we're just going to get pass happy. We're going to do an extension of the run game in terms of these quick passes. Whoever it is, Marcus or Jaden, we're going to get the ball out of their hands quicker so we can get our momentum back and our rhythm back on the offensive side of the ball. Even if the defense is stinking for the final 6 games of the season, I want to see the offense get back to scoring more than 24 points per game, right? Because the defense is the defense from last year, and it's a lot of the same guys. But the offense is scoring more than a touchdown less per game. And that is something that I think we can control. I really do. Whether it's Jaden or Marcus Mariota, I think both have the abilities to score 24 points per game. I'm not asking for 30. I want at least 24 points offensively in every game for the rest of this season. I want to get some momentum on offense, give Jalen Lane some opportunities, maybe Jacoby Jones, some of these younger guys, get Ben Sennett involved heavily as a tight end. We got to play our youth here, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but try to create some momentum, because as of right now, not many free agents outside of maybe like a future free agent and Brandon Ayuk that's going to want to play here in Washington. We have lost our destination image. That has got to improve over the final 6 weeks of the season here. And that's by showing some fight and by proving that Dan Quinn has changed the culture here in Washington. All eyes will be on Washington when they host the Denver Broncos. And this is a chance to make a statement. Yes, it's not an NFC opponent, but it's one of the top teams in the AFC coming to your building. One of the teams that will be in the postseason, as you'll be missing out. But you could make a statement with a win over the Broncos. And you could make a statement on offense because they are one of the top defenses if you can move the ball up and down the field. Dan Quinn is set to speak with the media today at 3:30. I'm sure you'll hear it or get the breakdown from Grant and Danny. We'll be live tomorrow giving you our response to what Dan Quinn said and the plan for Jaden Daniels moving forward for the rest of this season tomorrow on AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, it's 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. We got a lot still to talk about in terms of the National Football League and the playoff picture. There's a Monday night football game to preview, and then we'll move over to the college ranks. JMU got a much-needed victory. UVA is preparing for the Commonwealth Cup. They will host the Hokies. Hokie Steve will join us live from Capitol Ale House at 2 p.m., and we'll talk about the college football playoffs on University Drive. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on a Monday, November 21st, just after 1:30 here on The Fan, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. It is Burger Night, Boyga Night. Back like it never left, back and better than the before. 3 p.m. to midnight. Get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. The circus continues. The Commanders season begins once again following the bye week. As Dan Quinn will speak to the media a little bit after the show today, we're all wondering what he will say about Jaden Daniels. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to talk a little Commanders, the host of Locked On Commanders and a digital beat writer with WUSA 9, it's David Harrison. What's up, David?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, and you know, we've been talking today about what we want to see after the bye week to close out the season. I think the biggest thing is, I want to see this damn losing streak end.
Yeah, I mean, that would be that. It's kind of like that's the first step, right? But like to get to there, there's a lot of little steps in between that have to be taken. And I think that, you know, at least in theory, it's hard to really know how confident to be in it because it's only a 1 week sample size. But you know, the last time we saw them playing against the Dolphins, at least the defense looked more, you know, disciplined and sync. Guys were, you know, in position and, let's say, out of position less often than they were prior to. So if that trend continues, then, you know, you have the opportunity to at least be competitive against some of these teams that are looking at playoff spots.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like much different from the 20 to the 20. Then it was a whole new defense inside the red zone, and that was great to see right there. What do you think Dan Quinn's thoughts were on his defensive performance? I mean, obviously the red zone stops were good, but they still gave up way too many yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be at least a little bit encouraged, right? I mean, the red zone is, you know, on a down-to-down basis, the trenches are where the plays are won and lost, but in the game, the red zone is where the games are won and lost, right? Not a lot of touchdowns are scored outside the 20. So if you can clamp down inside the 20, force them into some fourth down tries or force them into some field goals, then certainly you're going to have the opportunity to win. So I think encouraged is probably going to be a theme when we hear from Dan later today, just as far as what they were able to achieve. And then, you know, like I said, you know, we'll see how much work they did during the bye. You know, I mean, coaches like to get away a little bit as well as the players, obviously, and you need that break to kind of reset. But at the same time, you want to try to build on some of that, you know, little bit of – it's very silver lining-ish, right? And I know, you know, no moral victories and all that kind of stuff. But in a season like this, it's really kind of all you have right now.
Yeah, I mean – look, it's gone south. It really has. We are 3-8 on the season, and I mean, it's just, you're not going to be talking about playoffs this season. You're probably not going to be talking about a win streak anymore. I mean, you're focusing on next season right now, and so I wonder, how important is it for Washington to maybe change the national image of their team towards the end of this season here?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Washington themselves, like inside the building, I don't know that they're really all that worried about the national, you know, image of them. I think, you know, at the end of the day, every player and coach understands, you know, the media, whether it's national or local, we're going to write what you do. We're going to talk about what you do. So you control the narrative. We don't control the narrative, right? Like if this team is 8-3 instead of 3-8, the narrative is a lot different. It's not because we want it to be. It's because it's obviously a much better team, right? So that's really how you control the media, is just go out there, do your job, and focus less on what they're saying in the moment and focus more on what you do to impact the outcome, because that's going to ultimately dictate what we say in the media.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from here. I'm wondering, do pending free agent wide receivers, pending free agent tight ends, you know, pending free agents still look at Washington as a team on the rise for that reason there? I think it would be nice to, you know, win maybe two of the four divisional games at the end of the season.
No, absolutely. I mean, you'd love to at least split with every single one of your divisional teams. I mean, you know, you can sweep the Giants. You know, I mean, if you sweep the Eagles, that would obviously be a big boost to the public image and all those things. But get a win against the Cowboys, and, you know, if you can win one of these two games at least, here, you know, before you get into that stretch, then even better. You know, I know that, you know, a lot of fans, you know, want to focus on getting the best draft pick possible and all that stuff, but, you know, the team really is, they're focused on winning, and that's what they want to do, and they know that they know that they're better than the product they put on the field. So it kind of makes our job a little bit tricky, because you got to kind of have one foot in each pot, right? Because the team wants to win, the fans want the draft pick, so you kind of have to kind of balance your coverage. But I think it's important to be clear that nobody inside the building, you know, again, at least as far as, you know, last time we saw them, which was in Spain, nobody inside the building is phoning it in on the rest of this year.
I think they need improved production from running back and tight end next season. Is that guy on the roster currently?
I mean, I think that, you know, you're finally seeing Chris Rodriguez get the opportunity to kind of, I guess, lead the charge would be a way to put it, right? I don't think there's any, like, bell cow, or I don't even know if you want to put, like, the primary back label on any one guy, you know. But I think that, you know, it's good to see Chris is finally kind of getting those opportunities and continuing to prove that he has the ability to impact an offense positively when he's out there on the field. You know, I don't want to say complication there, but, you know, the bottom line is he is a free agent at the end of this season, and we never know how, you know, agents are going to influence things and what guys want and all that kind of stuff versus what the team is willing to give. So, like, will he be back next year, really? I mean, the only guy you're guaranteed is going to be back next year is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and he's shown a lot of potential, right? But he's the seventh-round rookie. He's a back who's got a lot of room to grow. So, like, it's going to be really interesting to see how this running back room takes shape in the off season and towards 2026, because there's a world, I think, where it's basically the same, like Chris Rodriguez, Jeremy McNichols, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and maybe another rookie in the mix or something like that. But there's also a world where it's incredibly different, and Bill is the only one that's coming back, and you know, there's a free agent and maybe even a third round draft pick in the mix. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. And then, yeah, tight end, you know, I actually just did an episode about this kind of a topic on Locked On Commanders today, and it's interesting because John Bates, really solid number two, but that's like, he's a really solid number two, you know what I mean? Ben Sinnott hasn't really taken the reins anything to kind of show that he's ready, certainly, to be a number one tight end, or that he's ever going to be a number one tight end. So right now, you look at the team, you're like, well, Zach Ertz doesn't want to retire. Bringing him back really is the best avenue forward. Now, there's some guys in free agency next year, potentially Chig Okonkwo from the Tennessee Titans, for example. But again, if he loves Cam Ward and wants to go back to Tennessee, there's no guarantee that you're going to lure him away either. So do you let, you know, Zach kind of hang on the line, you know, in hopes that you get somebody better, or do you re-sign him and then kind of go from there? So it's the reason Adam Peters and his staff get paid all the money they do, because, you know, I think if you hear me say on my show they need to re-sign Zach Ertz, you're going to kind of flinch a little bit. But I think right now, if you operate based off what you know, Zach Ertz really is the best option you have to get production out of the tight end group.
David Harrison with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Dan Quinn will speak to the media later today, and of course he'll be asked about Jaden Daniels. Where do you think we're trending with the other injured guys? You know, Trey Amos, Will Harris, you know, even Treylon Burks, Terry McLaurin, Ben Sinnott, Noah Brown.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see Noah Brown again this year, to be quite honest with you. Treylon Burks, I think you can probably have some hope that he'll be back this week. I think Will Harris has a good shot of being back this week against the Broncos. Drake Jackson, the edge rusher, I think we might see his debut this week against the Broncos as well. And, you know, Terry, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Terry, I'm not really going to ever have a prediction on, just because that injury has been so weird, and then the way it was aggravated, and, like, you know, the fact that it's a quad issue. Like, those things are so finicky by themselves. I don't know that I'm ever going to really truly have a prediction on it. Jaden, I think there's definitely a chance he can come back this week. You know, the team has given away some Thanksgiving items at the stadium this week, and he's going to be a part of that effort. And, you know, I don't think that they're going to have him walking around, you know, interacting with too many people if he's not going to be at least potentially available to be, you know, available for the team, because obviously everybody's going to want to go out there and ask him if he's playing and these types of things. That's very anecdotal, you know, to be clear. But I think that there's at least an outside shot, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'd wager on it if that's the thing, but I think there's at least an outside shot there. But yeah, Will Harris, Drake Jackson, I think are probably the two, you know, best bets to come back from injury. Treylon Burks, I think, certainly is probably a third in that list.
Can you give us more details on why you think we might not see Noah Brown? And, you know, does that lead to that being a blemish on Adam Peters' resume for the way he handled the wide receiver room this offseason if Noah Brown only ends up playing, what, two games?
Yeah, I mean, there's just his injury history is just so extensive, and just everything he's been going through over the last 12 months, and then just kind of watch him a little bit in Spain. I mean, he was working out with the trainers and things, but it just didn't seem like there was a whole lot of deliberate intention on, like, we're doing things to bring you back in the short term, if that makes sense. And again, that's just kind of me reading what I'm seeing, so it's all very subjective. But it just kind of is the vibe that I kind of have about the situation. And I think that when you look back, you know, hindsight is dangerous. You know, I kind of make the joke that we always operate off of 2020 hindsight. So we can nitpick everything. But I do remember even going back into the offseason before Noah was injured in the mandatory minicamp and before all this other stuff with Terry happened, like I was a little bit concerned with what they had done at the receiver group. I really had hopes that maybe Deami would come back again. You know, I don't expect Adam Peters to match a $10 million payday that Jacksonville gave Deami, so I don't fault him for that. Alamide Zaccheaus wanted an opportunity to be higher up on the pecking order, so he left Washington for good reason. Jamison Crowder, you know, I mean, he had his moments, obviously. He was a big third-down weapon last year, so even maybe bring him back. But just it just felt like whether it be through, like, the mid-to-bottom level of free agency or it be, you know, in the NFL draft, like a trade back to get more picks and then grab another guy, like Jalen Lane you love. But, you know, there's a guy out there, and again, some of this is hindsight, right? But like Chim Dike out of Florida is out in Tennessee making some good plays. He's someone that I had on my own little personal Commanders wide receiver list that was on my list as a wide receiver fit for the Commanders a little bit higher. He went up, I think about a dozen picks before Jalen Lane. So, like, maybe be a little bit more deliberate in moving up to go get a guy that not only is going to, because Chim was a guy that you could kind of say, okay, maybe he does have the ability to impact our offense as well as special teams, whereas Jalen, nobody really thought, like, we're going to need to lean on him on it. From an offensive perspective, it's going to be more of a special teams thing. And then, of course, because of the injuries, you end up needing to lean on him heavier than you had to or you projected to. So that was something that even in the offseason, I was kind of like, I thought maybe they should have been more aggressive towards the top five, top four guys on their depth chart and not necessarily count on Luke McCaffrey to take that step. You know, if you go get a wide receiver four and Luke just beats him, that's fantastic. But don't bank on Luke to be that number four guy. And I think that, you know, that's something that even though we use hindsight going back into the past, I know that that's an issue that I had with the roster construction. But I think you're always going to have something you can pick at. And unfortunately this year, the item that we picked at came true.
Yeah, I'll just tell you this, David. You know, I was hanging out with some friends over the weekend that were not Commanders fans, and wide receiver in Washington has kind of become a national joke with Robbie Anderson and Chris Moore, right? Like, this is the rookie of the year, and that's who he was throwing the ball to. And I get it. You know, Debo's been banged up, and of course McLaurin and Noah Brown and Luke McCaffrey went to IR, but it's like our wide receivers have become a national joke. It's just kind of embarrassing, man.
Yeah, so that's why you kind of see, like, obviously Brandon Ayuk, you know what I mean? If he does come available in the offseason, obviously his and Jaden's relationship, Adam Peters knows him. I think that's a great advantage for this team, because if you're a GM that doesn't know Brandon Ayuk from anybody else and all you see is the headlines and all you see is the stories and all you hear are the rumors, you know, you're going to ask your buddy across the hall and all that stuff. Certainly, but you don't have that hands-on experience. Adam Peters knows who Brandon Ayuk is. Jaden Daniels knows who Brandon Ayuk is, you know, beyond the headlines, beyond the stories. And so they're going to know, you know, is this a guy that's worth bringing in here? Is this someone that we really want to pursue? And you're going to be able to get him, you know, relative to his potential. You're going to, you know, you expect, I should say, you'll be able to get him cheaper. Certainly not on the deal that the 49ers had him on previous to this. So there's obviously that. And, you know, if you look at a 2026 wide receiver room of Terry, Brandon Ayuk, and if they can bring Debo back, and then you have Jalen Lane as a sophomore, Luke McCaffrey, you know, recovered from his injury, and maybe, you know, a fifth-round receiver, another fifth-round receiver to bring into the mix as well. That looks a little bit better. You know, Brandon will be over, you know, about 18 months away from his torn ACL by the time he steps on the field for the Commanders, but at the same time, he'll also be 18 months removed from the last time he took meaningful snaps. So there's a little bit of a positive, but also a little bit of a drawback there as well. But, yeah, I think that, you know, ultimately everybody wants to see the group go out there and get another receiver, improve the receiver room. But at the same time, you also have a middle-of-the-road offensive line from a pass-blocking efficiency standpoint that you potentially need to upgrade. You don't really have a pass rush. You're banking on two injured guys, Dietrich Wise Jr., Dorrance Armstrong, coming back from injury and being as effective as they were when they left. That's kind of hard to stomach. The interior defensive line lacks depth, so you could go there. Linebacker is old, if not retiring, Bobby Wagner. You need some proven depth there. The secondary, like, so there's just a lot of areas on this roster. And the weird thing is, Adam, is like, you can really point to less than, you know, six or seven plays across the span of the season, and this team is one game away from 500. So as many holes as we can sit here and say they have to fill, they also have a lot of potential already. So it's going to be an interesting offseason for sure, one that really nobody's going to agree on the path to take, which, you know, from our perspective of media, having talked about this all year long, it actually helps us. But I think fans are going to need to kind of just buckle their seatbelt to understand, like, one media member is going to say go this path, another one's going to say go this path, and neither of them necessarily wrong, they just see it differently.
Yeah, it's just, it kind of feels like we have so many holes now that we might have more positions to fill than the end of the Ron Rivera era, which is just insane to think about. Now, obviously, franchise quarterback is not one of them anymore, but it just feels like maybe the roster development, the building blocks that we thought were going to be building blocks, haven't turned out to be that way. We've gone way past our time here, but I'm just so interested to hear your thoughts on this. Deebo Samuel, chances he's a Commander next season?
I think it's a pretty good chance. I think that Deebo's been a really good fit for the locker room.
Okay.
I think him and Jaden have a good, like, individual relationship, you know, and I think that he obviously fits, right? Like, what the offense looks like from a schematic standpoint moving into next season, I think, is a big deal, too. But then there's also the money. You know, there's a lot of dead cap attached to the rework that they did when they brought him in. And, you know, he's not going to want to, you know, just take that minimum. And I think he's certainly proven, you know, while he's not a number one receiver, he's a very valuable number two. And there are going to be a lot of teams this offseason that I think that'll be looking to call Deebo if he's available.
Yeah. I mean, is there a number that you'd be comfortable with Washington spending on Deebo?
I haven't actually gotten that far, and I don't want to just, like, throw a number out there off the top of my head. I haven't actually gotten that far into studying whether that would be there. But you know, I think that I don't take Deebo to be, like, the overly greedy type. I think he just wants to be secure, feel wanted in his situation, but also be able to contribute. And I think Washington obviously is a location that could do that. But, you know, if you were to tell me Buffalo, even, you know, Kansas City, you know, came calling and could try to offer him some of the same stuff, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, is that he plays well at the end of the season and gets a bigger bag than Washington can afford. David, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That is David Harrison. Follow him on Twitter at dharrison82. Locked On Commanders, host of Locked On Commanders. Check it out from the Locked On Network. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Time to take a sneak peek at what tomorrow's college football playoff rankings will be revealed as. With Hokie Steve, we've got Jay Money running the ones and twos representing the JMU Dukes here on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
All right, Steve, let's jump right into this here with your 12-team college football playoffs.
Not
what's going to be revealed tomorrow night. Your personal.
Well, I'm also trying to think what's going to be happening down in Dallas. But not a lot of change. I've still got five teams out of the SEC. I've still got SEC, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Alabama is the five. With Oregon's impressive win Saturday at Eugene, I've got Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon still from the Big Ten. And I'm still saying the winner of the ACC will get that slot. Looks like it, you know, an SMU-UVA game in Charlotte as of right now. I've still got Texas Tech as a lone team in the Big 12, and Notre Dame in there as well. And my G5 team is the Tulane Green Wave. That's my 12.
Now, what happens if Texas beats Texas A&M?
Chaos. Although I still think A&M is solidly in there. I don't know that Texas necessarily jumps back in. I mean, I don't.
I mean, I'm not putting a sixth SEC team in.
I don't think so either. I mean, I think with Oregon winning decisively in their game against Southern Cal, I think that solidifies your three teams in the Big Ten. Now, if Michigan beats Ohio State,
then you have real chaos.
Then you have real chaos, exactly. And that game is at Ann Arbor, right? The Buckeyes are like a 9.5-point favorite in that game. I'm surprised. I thought that game would be like a 4 or 5 point. Ohio State's going to be favored in that game. 9.5 at Ann Arbor? Are you kidding me? I mean, Alabama is only a 5.5-point favorite at Auburn.
Where are you at percentage chances if Michigan wins that they are in the top 12? I'm at like 95%.
Are you? I don't know. I still think Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, a 10-2 overall record?
You know, that's a scenario where with BYU beating Cincinnati on Saturday night at Cincinnati, if BYU then wins the Big 12 championship game, then maybe they're looking at two teams.
So let's see here with Michigan. A win, you're definitely putting them ahead of Utah.
Oh, no doubt.
You're putting them ahead of Miami.
Yep.
You're putting them ahead of Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Because that would be the six SEC team that you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, and then
I just don't think
they're it'd be between them and BYU probably.
I don't see a scenario where the SEC gets six.
I don't either.
Out of the 12,
I don't either.
I just don't. I mean, you know, they would have had to have, you know, beaten. Who'd they lose to? A couple the game at Texas, but I just don't see. I think five is a little bit. They're solid with five. I just don't see six.
So if Michigan wins, though. Do you hold out Alabama? And then it's four Big Ten, four SEC.
Depends on what happens Saturday night in Auburn.
If
they blow out Auburn. And then they would potentially sit. They would not play in the SEC championship game.
I just wonder, can either Michigan or Alabama jump a Notre Dame?
The way the Irish are playing right now, I just don't see that. I really don't. Notre Dame plays at Stanford Saturday night. You know, they're going to win that game. They have 31-point favorites.
See, I just don't understand how the committee would handle the backlash and how they would even make it make sense, again, if Miami and Notre Dame have the exact same record.
Well,
and so I think it's almost playing out to the fact that they might just put both of them in.
You heard what Juracek said the other night. They're looking at all these data points, right? And I think as they get closer to the end of the regular season, depending on what Miami does at Pittsburgh, if they come up, if they're like, you know, right there, then I think they would go to head-to-head. But he brought up the fact that Miami lost to two teams that are not even in the top 25
right.
of the CFP. And that's their differential for putting Notre Dame in now
but
keeping Miami out.
I think you can do that. You can do that. You can do that until the games have been played. Once the games have been played and the records are the same, you have to go to head-to-head. Other way, throw away the whole system. Scrap it, and let's go back to BCS. I mean, are you kidding me right now? Head-to-head has to matter.
You want a 64-team CFP, don't you?
I just want head-to-head to matter most.
I hear you. I hear you. And unfortunately, when you're talking about a team named Notre Dame, I don't see them keeping the Irish out at 10-2 when their two losses are to two teams that are right now right.
All right, let me ask you this then, okay?
Yep.
10-2 Miami and 10-2 Alabama, with Miami a win over Florida State and Alabama a loss to Florida State. That has to matter too, right? We're just going with brand name.
And this
right?
is, again, what did I tell you about a 13-0 Florida State ACC champion team in right. Alabama? I mean,
they don't care.
Brand matters with this committee, all right?
Right?
Brand matters with this committee. Brand matters with ESPN.
And also, you know what matters, which is so stupid, though, is what have you done for me lately?
Brand matters with the four letter that's involved with this thing as well.
You know what they need to do is flip the schedule, and so that teams like Alabama and all these big schools, they play a non-conference game at the end of the year to be an extra playoff game, right? Because we should have.
That's kind of what they did last week. What the SEC does the week before the rivalry week
game.
Is they play Stanford and Eastern Illinois
right.
and. You know, all these other teams. That's what they did. That's what they did last
yeah,
week.
Northern Kentucky.
Yeah, that's
right.
what they did last week.
Yeah.
So, Texas A&M played Samford. Alabama played Eastern somebody. And Western Kentucky almost beat LSU down in Baton Rouge last Saturday night. So,
all right, let's get to the G5, though.
All right.
And the argument against JMU.
Here, this is, to me, and listen, this is a really good JMU team, and you know, I'm just telling you right now, the committee, this is the way I think the committee looks at it. JMU's 10-1, Tulane is 10-2. JMU has one win against a team with a winning record. Tulane has four wins with teams with winning records, including two Power Four teams in Northwestern and Duke. Both of those teams, by the way, they're not great, but they both have winning records as of today. So, and the strength of when you look at the strength of schedule and overall, JMU has played their body of work. Their teams are 54-68, and Tulane's are 65-55. But again, to me, it gets back to the one win against a team with a winning record versus four wins versus teams with winning records.
So when the rankings come out tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
If the committee has Tulane and North Texas, either one of them, or both, ahead of JMU, is there any chance that JMU can leap them?
Without Tulane or North Texas losing?
Well, because one of them would have to win.
Right. Well, again, Tulane wins. JMU wins. They play at Coastal this weekend. Tulane's got a 1-10 Charlotte team. Tulane will be in the AAC.
It'll be Tulane, North Texas.
Right.
And are you saying that the winner of that game will definitely be better than JMU?
I don't know. That's a very interesting scenario because we'll see where they come out tomorrow. Tulane was 24 last week. Let's just say they move up to 20. And it would not surprise me if JMU is behind Tulane and ahead of North Texas.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, if North Texas beats Tulane in the AAC championship game and JMU wins the Sun Belt, which they host now. They host the game on December 5th. That's a scenario that I see where the Dukes get in.
I don't, unfortunately. I think it would have to be
because
Texas is going to then have a record of 12-1.
I know, but the one reason I do say that is North Texas's strength of schedule is very similar to JMU. It's not close.
North Texas blew out Washington State.
Though. I know they did, 59-10.
And I could see a committee looking at that.
I know they did,
right?
And that's why I sent you that text the other day.
Yeah,
because I'm looking at Washington State. It's a good win. It's a Power Four team. Without a conference right now, right? Them and Oregon State. But their strength of schedule is not very good. So, who knows?
Jeremy, what do you think, man?
Yeah, chime in.
You want to compare that win against Washington State to another playoff team? JMU beat them by 4. Ole Miss beat them by 3. So you could look at it that way. You could also say, JMU is the only Group of 6 school in the entire nation who hasn't lost to another Group of 6 school in the entire country. I just think they've got a better resume right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure the committee agrees.
I just think the committee is going to look at it and say 4 wins versus teams with winning records, including 2 Power Four teams. I think that holds a lot of water for Tulane.
Yeah, I think a win against Coastal would be another step forward for JMU.
It's got to be a dominating win against Coastal, and then a dominating win in the Sun Belt Championship game.
Right, but then again, like we were talking about last week, if North Texas versus Tulane is your American championship, the winner of that game, whoever it is, the committee's going to favor over JMU.
And North Texas is, I think they're 10-1 right now.
Yeah.
I think they're 10. They've only lost one game.
Yeah. That's why I think you're maybe rooting for Tulane to win it all, and then you have at least a better overall record than them, but Tulane will have the better non-conference win with a win over Duke.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough because I can't root for Tulane. The committee's already said that they're taking Tulane over JMU. So right. Then you just got to have to vote for a whole bunch of chaos in the American, which it still could happen. North Texas could lose this week and then win the American. And I think if that happens, that's a JMU spot right there.
North Texas this week has who do they
Temple.
Have? They got Temple. All
yeah.
right.
They're going to blow them out.
You might want to pull for that ACC chaos after all.
Yeah, right. That's the All-State playoff predictor says the way JMU gets in is JMU and North Texas getting in.
Well, that's ACC chaos.
Yeah, that's ACC chaos
for both for an AAC team and a Sun Belt team to get in. That's the ACC blowing itself up.
Yeah, but they still have Miami then getting in, which is very interesting because I guess that's the scenario, right? Is Miami doesn't play in the ACC title game, but they get in over Notre Dame because of the head-to-head.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I would like to happen. Head-to-head has to matter.
It should. It always should. It always should. But again, history tells me that it's not necessarily going to matter, depending on who we're talking about.
Yeah, and history has a way of repeating itself.
Yes, it does.
I just would love for Texas to lose, and so we don't have to deal with a SEC possibly getting a 6 team in.
That game is at Austin, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a very – that game's Friday night, too, I believe.
It's going to be a good one.
I mean, there is great football. Listen, there's a really good AAC game on Thanksgiving night. I'll be watching the Ravens game. But then Friday is loaded with a bunch of good games, including Georgia Tech. And then Saturday, just pull up a chair and just sit down all day.
Yep, Scott Stadium for the Commonwealth Cup. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.